welcome to our Lone Star Podcast for Tuesday, July 28th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you, coming to you from the Little House on the East Side, and very happy to be joined by everyone's favorite Texas bread. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kitchen. What's up, JK?
PTF, what's going on? There's a horse that's going to be running in the second. He's going to be over bet. His name is Cedar Hall, and there's a city right north. South of Lone Star Park called Cedar Hill. I have a feeling that the locals there are going to fire away on this horse.
The horse. We'll get to it when we get to the race, but I'm so disappointed to think the horse might be artificially over bet, because that one kind of left off the page at me from a class perspective, but we'll get there in a minute. It's good. See, this is what you get from JK on the Lone Star Podcast. You get institutional knowledge about Texas that you're not going to get anywhere else. How was your day of betting yesterday between Lone Star and Del Mar? It was kind of fun to have such a busy Monday.
Yeah, I missed the first leg at Lone Star, and then Del Mar had some real randomness going on, so we got beat up there a little bit.
Don't like to hear that. Don't like to hear that one bit. But today is another day. We've got a very interesting card at Lone Star. We're going to talk about it right now, this early double, as we've been doing on these shows. The first race is a 3-and-up claimer. These are $6,500 claimers going 1 mile on the dirt. And I like number 10, Insurrection, the best in here. I like the fact that this one has tactical speed but can also pass horses. And I thought that might be an important asset against this field. This one was favored last time in the first start against winners, and I just think is pretty well spotted here. I did also want to get your take on number 3, Rancho Bargo, JK. This one quite simply looked like the best speed and seemed very dangerous if able to control again. I was going to try to use the 10 and the 3 in this first leg of Tuesday's early double. What did you think?
I'm using the 10 and the 3, but I'm using the 1 the most. To your 10, I completely agree. Like the outside post, like the fact this horse was non-winners to 2 last time, ran well enough at that price. Maybe you can toss out the muddy racetrack is the reason that one didn't run as well as the odds board suggested that Insurrection would run. The 3, Rancho Bargo, another one that I thought made sense last time. The weird thing about this horse is the last 2 races were some of his best races, and they both were on a racetrack that was listed with some moisture. So I don't want to dismiss the horse based on that, but also the fact that the last 2 races were against maidens was another reason why Rancho Bargo is kind of my third choice in here. And my top choice is the 1, Cairo King. This horse is making a pretty significant drop. If you look, starting from the bottom with this horse, maiden special weight, broke the maiden special weight, while the rest of these horses we're talking about broke their maiden significantly lower. Then he ran for 30 a few times, and he was bet for Steve Asmussen. He ran an allowance race at Sam Houston. He ran for 15 non-winners of 2 and almost got the job done. Last time ran 25 non-winners of 2, and now he's in non-winners of 2 for 62.5. I just feel like this is a pretty heavy drop from a very sharp trainer in Steve Asmussen. I just feel like Cairo King is going to be tough in here. So when I weigh my doubles into the next race, and we'll talk about it later, I'm going to weigh them in this order, 1, 10, and 3. 1, 10, and 3. I'll use all 3 of those horses in this first leg.
One thing extra I liked about Insurrection a bit was that this is a 4-year-old against who I saw the other key contenders as Rancho Bargo and your Cairo King being 3-year-olds. Do you think that is a significant difference at this level?
I mean, I think it matters. I mean, I think it's something to consider, but I don't know if it's going to make all the difference in the world. Plus, we're in late July now, so I think some of those 3-year-olds are starting to kind of be a little bit more mature, where they can kind of bang around with the older horses, and so I'm not going to let it throw me off too much, but I do recognize your point.
There's a 3-pound get that the 3-year-olds get from the older horses in this spot. Not enough to really matter to me, but just as a point of fact, that is the difference. I guess I was hearing your words in my head when you've talked about how at Lone Star, a lot of the times when you can think of an excuse to try to beat Steve Asmussen, that you do for fear of them being overbet. And that might have been one of the things, along with just the rail draw and not envisioning exactly what kind of trip Cairo King was going to get that pushed me more towards the 3 and the 10. But obviously, I respect your opinion, and we'll take a look. I might be a way to at least have a save or get my stake back if Cairo King gets the job done here in this first at Lone Star. Let's talk about this second race. We are in the claiming rank still. $15,000 price tag. This one, we are going 5 furlongs on the turf for Billies and Mares, 3-year-olds and up. And I've already sort of tipped my hand about Cedar Hall and that this is the horse I like. I just thought there might be a class edge here. I didn't mind the last turf start of a bit back. That was a stake going a mile where I felt like she ran well enough for a little while, like one for whom the cutback would be a positive. It felt notable that this is the second start off the layoff and the barn has good numbers in that category. Overbet aside, do you see number 2 Cedar Hall as one of the key contenders in this spot? And where will the JK dollars be going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about that horse's figures, turf sprint, you know, on the turf prior. Doesn't have any real big numbers. I actually was going with 2 long shots in here, at least on the morning line long shots. The 3 Nautical Gem is a horse that Steve Asmussen took from Joe Sharp last time for 7,500, switches to the turf. That horse showed a lot of speed a few times in the career. And Joe Sharp even tried Nautical Gem on the turf. So I'm thinking to myself, Steve Asmussen saw that and said, okay, let me grab this horse. Let me put him back on the turf. I think there's something we can do a little bit differently, so on and so forth. So the 3 Nautical Gem, and then also the 8 Hawkeye Girl was another one that I liked. The race down at Sam Houston turf sprinting showed a lot of speed there, had a nice figure that day, came back and had the dirty form in the slop race last time to kind of help people get off the horse. And I think is another one that has speed in these turf sprints. So I'm just going to play those 3 horses in the first leg weighted into the 3 and the 8 here equally. So there we go.
You're talking me into Hawkeye Girl. I like the trip she's going to get, being among the best speeds and being drawn outside. And that's a great point about the quite literally dirty form off the last race. Bet to 5-1 in there, third start off the layoff now. But actually, as we talk about it for another minute, there ain't going to be no 12-1. But we're talking about doubles. And in the double, of course, you have the opportunity to look at what it's going to pay probably and have an opportunity to weight bets accordingly. So you don't have the benefit of that knowledge now, but from where we sit, how would you look about allocating? You talked about the ranking of your horses in the first leg. How about in terms of the specifics of the amounts here, JK? How are you going to allocate your $100 we sometimes talk about on the show?
I'm going to go $30 double, 1 with 3-8, a $12 double, 10 with 3-8, and an $8 double, 3 with 3-8.
Good stuff. I'm going to just go ahead and be bold in the first leg, and you'll probably stuff me in a locker with Cairo King. I'm going to use my 2 in there, and I'm going to keep and wait in favor of Cedar Hall on the ticket. And I am going to put your Hawkeye Girl in there as well. I'll allocate based on the probables and try to win something similar if I can get one of those combinations in. And that's going to do it for this early double at Lone Star today. Any other thoughts on these races or anything else on this Tuesday?
No, not that I can think of. Good luck in this double. Pick up some pieces. You can play it back in the late pick 5. I love the late pick 5 at Lone Star, pace 4 or 5. I think it's a great opportunity to kind of try to press up some opinions and don't be scared to be wrong that one time because there's a lot of opportunities you can get your investment back.
It is an important and underrated factor in the game. Our friend Sean Borman, the professional player, loves to talk about it, the preservation of capital. And there are smart ways of doing it. It's not something you want to chase, obviously, because then you're kind of playing not to lose. But it's smart to put yourself in situations where you're either spending very little extra with that as a secondary goal, or like JK suggesting, fishing in the right ponds. That ability to get 4 or 5 definitely suggests that more money can be flowing back your way. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I want to thank you, JK. I want to thank our partners over at Lone Star Park. And I want to thank all of our listeners and fans for chiming in, making these shows so much fun to do. It's the back and forth on the Lone Star shows has been a ton of fun. We encourage people to keep doing it. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Looms Boldly. He's at UT Big Hair. Find us at InTheMoneyPodcast.com through the contact link and keep the conversation moving. I don't do the full. I was about to launch into the full. It's not a preamble. It's a close. But at the end of these shows, we just after we do the thank yous, we say, may you win all your photos.